sea and I shall be whiter than snow. Lord Jesus, you see as I patiently wait. Come now and within me a new heart create. To those who have sought you, you never said no. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Now wash me and I shall be whiter than
I came here this morning to worship my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and to worship with you, and I trust that you have done the same. I always wait for the smiles, because we come to be happy, to be able to rejoice, and while sometimes the sacrament service is a serious time, and there are those who have come to visit say, why are all these men up for us so sober? Well, I think because they're serious and trying to do their part in preparing themselves before the Lord to be able to be servants. I trust that you will be blessed as you have come here today. The my priesthood brothers up front, Richard Sanders, will be sharing on preparing for the service. And I'm George Mefford, and I will share a little bit after the service and offer the pastoral prayer. Brother Ray Sams will, and Clarence and Alan and Farron are all serving, and Brother Ray will bring the invocation, and Clarence and Alan will be breaking bread, and Brother Farron will be sharing with us on the oblations. You'll notice it says oblations, tithing, and offerings. And he'll speak to that a little bit. And then our brother Dan Shear will bring the benediction. Denise Mefford is the pianist, and we're happy to have our music people here today to bring the minister music. My daughter Sherry and some of my grandkids, Kelly Pedersen and Johnny Pedersen. And we're happy to have Kelsey Chown with us. So appreciate your minister of music today, and look forward to the rest of it. I'd like to read from 1 John, the 4th chapter, verses 7, 8, and 21. Where really, there is nothing that is more important for us to be challenged by, and that is that we learn to love one another. We sometimes hear these words, and they come in one ear and out the other because we hear them so many times. But I challenge you this morning, we are to love one another, and even to love those that don't love us. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. May God bless us as we come together to share in this service today. Is my prayer.
Thank you. Our most gracious, loving Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we come before Thee now, praising Thy name, giving Thee the glory and the honor. And we thank You, O Father, for that great sacrifice that You have made for each one of us, that we come together this time in remembrance of that covenant that we have made with You, and that we might always remember You and keep Your commandments. So I just pray, O God, that we might become one with one another and one with You. Forgive us, O Lord, for our sins and our trespasses, and help us always to remember to do Thy will in all things. We invite Thy Spirit to be here with us, and I pray that it might touch each and every one of our hearts this day, that we might remember that covenant that we had made to always remember You. For we pray these things in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
I wanted to share with you a little bit on as we take up the offering, and there's usually three categories that come out of the offering. One is the your tithing. Of course, we're told that we're to take 10% of our increase and apply that to our tithing. And we also have the general fund that comes out of the offering, which keeps the lights on in church and pays for repairs and building committee and different things like that. And the third thing is the oblation fund, which I'm a part on the oblation committee, and that's kind of a special committee. We've helped a lot of different families throughout the years, which, you know, usually I don't say much about it, but and you usually won't even see anything happen through the oblation committee. But there's been times where we've helped families keep the lights on, keep the house paid, the bills paid, or whatever. But the oblation is taken up once a month, the first Sunday of every month. That's today. So anything that's not designated will be put into the oblation fund. So that's a very important fund. So, Deacons, if you would.
Dear Heavenly Father, we bow our heads this time to give You thanks for everything You've provided for us, this building and this people that has gathered. And that we, You give us so much and we give back so little. That we, these funds that we give this day, that may You multiply that in the plate and multiply that in these people's pocketbooks, that what they give up, they will realize that You'll bless them that much more the more they help Your church. This oblation is so important that for when someone's really, truly in need, that brothers and sisters can step up. May whatever that might be, may it be somebody stranded in the city that just can't get home that night, get home to out of state on a bus fare. May it be lights, like Farron said. It just is just so important. And we know that this congregation has pulled together and helped each other in many needs that people don't know about. And it's such a privilege to share on this committee with Farron and Richard. At the time we spend in prayer and preparation for decisions, Father, I ask that Your blessing on these people and that You, like I say, bless this money that they give up. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. It is a joy this morning to serve with my brethren. It's a bigger joy to serve the congregation, and it's the greatest joy to serve my Heavenly Father. I was looking through, preparing for this, preparatory remarks, and I was looking through my old sermon notes. I've got them on my computer, and I noticed, in the last year and a half, I've done some form of either communion remarks or the communion message after the communion 4 times in the last year and a half. And I think God keeps calling me to do this because this is probably the thing I struggle with most. Contemplate the most. It's on my mind a lot, the way we view communion and the way we look at it. So I don't know if I'm on the right track with my thoughts and my process, and that's why God keeps having me do this, or if I'm totally off base and he's hoping somebody will straighten me out. So we'll just go from there. But I do want us to keep an open mind this morning. And in no way do I wish to offend anybody, so if anything I say you find offensive, I apologize for that. I don't think we should, but I do think sometimes we get caught up in traditions. And traditions aren't always bad. You know, there's a lot of good traditions that we do, but I think sometimes we can take traditions, start getting in, and we lose the original meaning and possibly do things that aren't the way they're supposed to be done. I want to read, starting in Matthew, the 26th chapter, starting in verse 22 to 25. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and broke it, and blessed it, and gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is a remembrance of my body, which I have given a ransom for you." And he took the cup, and gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it, for this is in remembrance of my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for as many as shall believe in my name, for the remission of their sins. And I give unto you a commandment, that you shall observe to do these things, which you have seen me do, and bear record of me even unto the end." I read that. A lot of times the thing I struggle most with communion, I'll just get to the point, is the concept of that we need to be worthy. That we need to be worthy to come and partake of communion. We need to reflect upon our lives and look at those sins that we have to determine whether we're worthy to come and partake. Well, as I read that from Jesus Christ himself, there was a commandment that we do this in remembrance. I didn't see anything in there where it said that we had to be worthy. There was no criteria that we had to analyze our lives. There was no criteria that we had to hit a certain threshold before we could come. Because if that's the criteria, that we have to be worthy, then I think the deacons need to just come and take this away, because I don't know if any of us are worthy. And if we do have to be worthy, and there's a certain threshold that we have to meet, then please somebody tell me what that threshold is, because I do not want to eat and drink condemnation into my soul. And if we have to be worthy to partake of the emblems to renew that covenant, then what sin is acceptable? What sin in our lives is okay that we can still come and partake? Because I don't know of any. And I know we all have sins in our lives, because we're told we all have fallen short. I know there's things in my life I struggle with. In James, we're told basically that there's no degree of sin. If you're guilty of one part of the law, then you're guilty of it all. If you transgress one part of the law, you're guilty of it all. What does sin do? Sin removes us from the presence of our Heavenly Father. He cannot tolerate sin, even in the least degree. So if it's a matter of being worthy to come partake, then what sin is acceptable? what sin in our lives can we have that allows us still to partake? And like I said, at what point, at what threshold should we not take? I don't know. That's why I've struggled with this so much. Because I do think it's a very important thing we do today. I think it's very a humbling thing if we remember what we're doing, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for us, and this is a representation of his body and his blood that he spilt for our sins. I do think it's a very serious service that we participate in. But I really struggle with whether we're worthy or not. Because if we remember Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, and we need to self-examine ourselves that whether we're worthy or not, then are we not saying that we are worthy of Christ dying on the cross for us? I was not worthy for Christ dying on the cross for me. Only by his grace and his love that he gave that gift to me. And that's what it was. It was a gift. Now we do need to pray for forgiveness of our sins. We do need to strive not to sin anymore in our lives. But I have never found in the scriptures a mark where you become unworthy. And like I said, if somebody knows where that's at, please straighten me out, because I do find it very serious and I don't want to do something contrary to my Heavenly Father. So as we remember these things today, it is okay to self-examine yourself. It is okay to pray for repentance. That's something I've done ever since I was baptized, because I guess this has been something that's kind of bothered me my whole life. Right before I partake, I always say a little prayer that I would be forgiven of my sins. Because that is, as the song said, if Jesus washes us, we become whiter than snow. If we'll accept that gift, that he died on the cross for our sins, accept his blood, then we are worthy. Through the covenant that we made in baptism, we become worthy. We become worthy to partake. We sometimes, I guess another reason why this has bothered me so much is I've seen people struggle. I was in a service years ago, and a sister was sitting over there, and she got up, she was crying, and she left in tears. And me and Dan and Richard went and visited her after church, and she was just so beaten down. The sins in her life, she didn't feel worthy even to be in church. We had taken the communion service that should be something that's beautiful, something that we rejoice in, and for this sister it became so unbearable because of the guilt of her sins she had to leave. I don't think that's what God wants us to be remembering this day. So like I said, as we remember the gift that God gave us, Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins. If we'll accept that gift, then we'll become worthy. Thank you.
Yeah. Will you kneel as much as possible, facing the emblems, as I read the blessing upon the bread? O God, the eternal Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this bread to the souls of all those who partake of it, that they may eat in remembrance of the body of thy Son, and witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they are willing to take upon them the name of thy Son, and always remember him and keep his commandments which he hath given them, that they may always have his Spirit to be with them. Amen.
Father, we ask thee in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ, to bless and sanctify this wine to the souls of all those who drink of it, that they may do it in remembrance of the blood of thy Son, which was shed for them, that they may witness unto thee, O God, the eternal Father, that they do always remember him, and that they may have his Spirit to be with them. Amen. Thank you.
When I was growing up, I prayed for the right companion and one that had music ability. And I don't know why I did that, but I think the Lord prompts us what to pray for, because not only my wife had ability, but you can see my children and some of my grandchildren also have that ability. So sometimes the Lord knows way ahead of time what we should pray for. So what I'm going to share may sound like I disagree with my brother. I do not disagree with what Richard said. The only thing that I know in the scripture that does tell us one place, that if we have offended or we've had differences between us, that we need to go and get those straightened out before we come and partake of our emblems. The sacrament of the Lord's Supper is a positive time for us to remember Jesus, to also remember the covenant we made, but also a time for us to work on reflecting on what we yet need to do. So if you see the title in the bulletin, I want to ask a question. When the sun goes behind the horizon at night, is that an end or is that the beginning? Well, think about that a minute. I haven't thought about it. Have you? Well, it's an end for the day, for one day on this earth, but it's also now moving toward the beginning of another day. And I'd like to liken that onto the sacrament service, for we just participated in this particular service. And while the sacrament may be somewhat of an end, right now what I'm sharing should be a beginning. We often take the sacrament service and we think about that, and then when we sing the last hymn, that's it for that month, and now we wait another month for the next one. What I want to share is just a few scriptures that I hope will be a challenge to us to think about exactly what it is that we should be thinking about right now after we have partaken. Several times, there are certain things that ministers do, they repeat over and over. Not only do I talk about creation, but I talk about the scriptures really is our roadmap. Do you agree with that? It's our roadmap. And contained in that are many road signs. And when I go through and highlight something, that becomes one of my road signs. Now, I know a lot of people don't mark up their scriptures, and that's their choice. I mark my scriptures up because I can leaf through the scriptures and I can find the things I've highlighted and quickly read them and refresh my memory on those road signs in the scriptures that should guide me. So I wanted to share just a few of those to be very brief that might be a challenge to us today. You know, the scripture says that we should preach nothing but repentance. Well, I'm not going to go into just exactly what all that means. But I want to go first to Moroni, the 6th chapter, 6th verse. And I'm going to move quickly on these. The church did meet together oft to fast and to pray, and to speak one with another concerning the welfare of their soul. It's one of the reasons why we're here. And they did meet together oft to partake of the bread and wine in remembrance of the Lord Jesus. Now, Alma, the son of Alma, he talks about procrastinating. And I couldn't help but include that today, because I don't know whether any of you do find yourself procrastinating or not, but it's pretty easy to do, to say, well, Lord, I want to do this, I intend to do this, I should have done this. And sometimes the Lord holds us accountable, because things that the Lord wants us to do can be sins of omission. Things that we should be doing that the Lord has called us, He's touched our heart to do, and somebody out there may be depending upon you to call them, to write, send them a card, or to pray for them, or whatever. And if we don't, the Lord holds us accountable as procrastinators. But it's, it says, for behold, this life is a time for men to prepare to meet God. Yea, behold, the day of this life is the day for men to perform their labors. And now, as you have had so many witnesses, therefore I beseech of you, that you do not procrastinate the day of your repentance until the end. Now, there's one kind of repentance, and that is we repent and are baptized. There's another repentance where we actually try to overcome things in our life that that we need to repent of. In verse 233, for behold, if you have procrastinated the day of your repentance until death, behold, you have become subjected to the spirit of the devil, and he doth seal you his. Now, I may sound like I'm coming across a little bit strong, and I was tempted to not even share any of these scriptures, but you know, sometimes we talk about the flowery things, and we don't get down to the basics of why the Lord created us and placed us here upon this earth, and that is to work out our soul salvation. That's it. Some of these other things are secondary. And then in Alma 10:27, which is Alma, the son of Alma, and now, my brethren, I wish from the innermost part of my heart, yea, with great anxiety, even unto pain, that you would hearken unto my words and cast off your sins and not procrastinate the day of your repentance. And then he proceeds in Alma 10:28 to mention. I want to share these because here are some of the things that that can be our road signs. These are things the Lord, that he is saying that we ought to be doing. And you see if you agree. But do not procrastinate, but that ye would humble yourselves before the Lord and call on his holy name. And I'm going to emphasize certain things. And watch and pray continually that you may not be tempted above that which you can bear. We are faced with all kinds of temptations, whether we realize it or not, and thus be led by the Holy Spirit, that we would become humble, meek, submissive, patient, full of love, and all long-suffering, having faith on the Lord, having a hope that you shall receive eternal life, having a hope that you shall receive eternal life, having the love of God always in your heart, that you may be lifted up at the last day and enter into your rest. Notice most of these are talking about preparing ourselves that we can be received back to our Heavenly Father. Is that part of your focus? We've partaken of the sacrament to remember the Lord Jesus. But then he says, what are you supposed to remember about me? You're supposed to remember the fact that I love you so much that I showed you a way of life. I showed you there's life after this one. And now it's up to you to do your part. So the sacrament is, as brother's saying, is to remember the Lord Jesus, but it's now, what does he want us to remember him for? That's what a lot of this is all about. And the sacrament can give us that strength and encouragement and help keep us on our focus. There's another scripture that there's actually three of them I'm going to share. They're just very brief on forgiveness. How important is forgiveness? If we're supposed to be one, if we're not one, we're not his. Also, when it comes to forgiveness, it's awful easy for us to offend or to be offended. But the Lord says, okay, so that's going to happen. Now what do we do about it? We need to go to each other. And when I pastor churches in Michigan, it seemed like there were those that you're, as a pastor, you're forever saying something that doesn't approve with somebody. So I would go to them and try to straighten it out. And I found out that writing a letter is not a good idea, because if they're negative and they're already feeling bad, they're going to look at it negatively. So I just go to them personally. And usually we can get things worked out and become better friends than before. But it says, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. See, there's a part to this forgiveness and why it's so important. And that's Ephesians 4:32. In Matthew 6:13, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. That's the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And Mark 11:28 tells us, if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your trespasses. And I've heard people say, well, you know, They don't deserve to be forgiven.
Yes.
Well, you'll have to wrestle that with the scriptures. As Steve DeVera once, I've heard him say several times, if you don't agree with that, maybe you need to tear that page out of your scriptures. I've had to laugh about that several times he's made a comment. Now, the Lord has called us, when we made a covenant, to put off the old man and put on the new man in Christ. Okay, so what is the scripture telling us? In Ephesians 4:22, and now I speak unto you concerning the former conversations. Notice conversations, things that comes out of our mouth, by exhortation that ye put off. In other words, I'm exhorting you to put off the old man and be renewed in the mind of the Spirit, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, because we partook of the sacrament doesn't mean we've gotten rid of the old man, does it? But there's a challenge here for us to put on the new man in Christ. And it's so easy for a person. I don't know how many times I've heard somebody say, well, it's my nature to do this. Well, maybe that's the nature of it, but is that the new man in Christ? That's what you have to ask yourself, because the Lord is saying, no, you're supposed to put off those things that is naturally yours. When I was younger, and I suppose I have a temper, but one day my car wouldn't start, to give you an example, and it was cold and I was late for school, and I got so mad that I took my fist and I hit the side of the door. Well, the only problem is the door handle was off and I hit the part of the door handle, and man, it just ruined my knuckle. Well, I paid the price. But she said, I said, Lord, when I get angry, I'm the one who suffers. Whoever built this thing's got a problem. I've been going to take care of that for a long time. Richard did this, so he knows exactly what to do. I made this adjustable, but I need to also make it so that you can't, doesn't fall apart so easy. Now, if you can always remember where we left off. But I said, Lord, I'm the one who suffered from being angry. And what did it accomplish? Absolutely nothing. Well, as a matter of fact, I paid the price. And we've done that, I'm sure. Is anger one of our common failures? Whatever it might be in your life, it is our task to try to change those things that we put off the old man, because the anger is not that affected me personally. But sometimes we do angry things that is in front of somebody else, and they say, what's the matter with this guy? Now, if I can say something, where's Peggy? Peggy works for Kohl's, and I didn't ask her for permission to do this, but there are church people that she knows that don't know her, who come up and they get very angry and really are obnoxious, and it hurts her. She said, if it was a stranger, I can handle it much better. Then here's a church member who's supposed to be conducting themselves, is supposed to put off the old person and put on the new person in Christ and be an example before others. And I won't say any more about that. But in Hosea 2:48, I cannot tell you all the things whereby you may commit sin, for there are diverse ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. Are there temptations that surround us? They're all over the place. And what we have to do is put on the new man in Christ. The sacrament service kind of gives us the encouragement, lifts us up and say, Lord, I want to serve you. I made a covenant with you and I want to carry that forward.
Is that still acceptable?
in Mosiah 2:49, but this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your words and your deeds, and observe to keep the commandments of God, and continue in faith of what you have heard concerning the coming of our Lord, even unto the end of your lives, you must perish. That's strong medicine, folks. But we are here not just for fellowship, but to focus on what the Lord has called us to do and to be. So these are just a few of the road signs that all focus on one thing, the two greatest commandments. It says that we need to love God with all our heart, our soul, and mind. That's what the scripture says. And then the second one is that thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. But it also tells us, the Lord tells us that if you say you love me and you don't love your fellow man, then you don't love me. Do you get that? That's what it says. So it's so important that we understand what it is to forgive, to be patient, to be kind to one another, and to love one another. And lastly, we find this one familiar scripture that is in Doctrine and Covenants 22:23b. You've heard this many times. God talking to Moses, and he said, "And there is no end to my works, neither to my words, for this is my work and my glory, to bring to pass the immortality and the eternal life of man." You and I come to this service. One of the reasons is to give us the strength and the courage and the focus to put on the new man in Christ, to put off the old man, and to move forward to be the example of being as perfect as we can. And I agree with Brother Richard. When I was in Nigeria, I shared the one scripture about if you're not worthy. And I asked Hensley, I said, why were there so many people that didn't partake? Because they didn't understand what that meant about not being worthy. Because they all committed sin, so a lot of them didn't partake. I felt terrible, but there's no way to undo it. Brothers and sisters, let's move forward. Let's make sure we're one. We're going to be preparing to build a church. It's going to be easy to have differences of opinion, and that's good. Only if we find ways to love one another and to work out our soul salvation with each other. May God bless us, is my prayer. I'd like to offer the closing pastoral prayer. Almighty God, our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this place to worship. We thank you so much for this body of people who have chosen to come here and to share together. And I pray that the power of your Spirit will rest upon us now, that what is shared and what has taken place this day, that when we walk out this door, that our focus will be on being what you want us to be, to put off the old man, or the man, the older woman, child, whatever it might be, to put on the new person in Christ. Father, forgive us wherein we fall short. We seek to serve you and pray not only as we serve you, but you'll give us the courage and strength to witness to others, and most of all to be an example before one another that we truly can be what you want us to be. So, Father, we seek to serve you and pray your blessing upon us this day. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Give us a parting blessing.
almighty and eternally Father, it has been good to be here to bask in thy spirit and to fellowship with brothers and sisters and to receive that ministry through song and sharing and testimony through the spoken word. I pray that as we leave this building that those things that we've experienced today would be sufficient to strengthen us for the challenges we face as we go out back into the world. We might be that type of people you'd have us to be and be that example for a world that really truly needs an example of what your love can do for them. So bless us and be with us till we meet again, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.